Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Burt Show.
Will you guys even check reviews of movies before you go and spend your money on it?
Not at all.
No?
Oh,
no?
I for sure am.
Yeah.
If I'm going to get my butt to a movie theater at 5 p.m. on a Friday, I want to know if it's going to be worth battling traffic, spending $15 on popcorn. I want to know it's going to be worth it.
Yeah, see, I don't check reviews, but if enough people are talking about it, like with the Nobody Wants Us series, or Nobody Wants This series, I mean, I didn't see really one review about it, but I know everybody just from hearing people say they love it. So I'm like, all right, I'll check it out.
I would argue that's technically a review, though. If you're hearing people talk about how much they enjoyed it, it's technically like a positive review.
Yeah, I would give more credibility now to people that aren't professional critics than those that are, right? And that's what Rotten Tomatoes is really all about.
I hate movie critics, professional movie critics, because I think that it's a subjective art, right? A lot of times, movie critics are looking for plot and character development and all these other overrated parts about movies. When for me, I'm looking to be entertained by movies. That's the only reason why I want to go. And so my actual metric for watching movies is looking at what the Google user score is. And that's just if people, regular people who go to see movies, like it or not.
What I would love is for somebody to do this kind of critique. Tell me, like, how many times you went to go pick up your phone while you were watching it. Zero pickups? That's a damn good movie. One? All right, that's not bad. I think anything with, like, two or over, then I'm not going to watch
That's a pretty good indication, I think, honestly.
For
yeah.
Sure.
But people do tend to look at movie reviews a lot when they're thinking about going and seeing and spending their hard-earned money on something or whether to spend or waste 2.5 hours on something. And so Rotten Tomatoes, as you guys know, is one of the biggest players in the game of what people kind of use as a litmus test for whether or not movies are good or not, right? And so today I'm going to bring a game to you guys that I've dubbed Rotten or Ripe, where I am pitting two movies against each other and you have to tell me which one is rotten and which one is ripe, as in which one is higher and lower rated.
Okay.
Now, rotten does not necessarily mean that it got 5%. It's just worse respectively to the other. Does that make sense? Cool. So because it's spooky season, I decided to do a theme for this one of all kind of Halloween horror type movies. And so I will give you the two movies and you just have to tell me which one is which. And if you need a description of the movie, feel free to ask and I will give you the description.
Kristen, why don't you play contestant first?
Okay.
Because we don't know when you're going to walk out of here and go poop yourself.
I haven't pooped myself
yet.
I'm battling food poisoning today, but I'm here.
Yes, you are.
Okay, first up, we have Paranormal Activity versus The Conjuring.
I'm going to say Paranormal Activity versus I think I just got possessed. Paranormal Activity is ripe. Conjuring is rotten.
Incorrect. Paranormal Activity, 83% versus The Conjuring at 86%.
Okay. Oh, these are...
Close.
Right? You're making this game too hard. I don't like it.
Okay. I will.
He's going through enough today.
There's literally three tomatoes separating them.
I will revisit my methodology for the next time we play this.
Yeah, do you not know your contestants? Like, come on.
Clearly not. Okay, next up, we have the movie Rubber from 2010 versus Insidious from 2011.
Well,
I will say...
What's rubber?
Does everyone know what rubber is?
I've never heard of rubber in my life.
Okay.
Can we get a definition for rubber, please?
Rubber.
Country of origin?
A car tire comes to life with power to make people explode and goes on a murderous rampage through the Californian desert.
The hell?
Yeah, that had to have gotten the worst rating. That, what is that? So that makes it ripe?
That rotten. One's rotten.
Rotten. That's rotten.
Which one's ripe?
The other one.
No. Which one's right?
What was it? Last turn to the left. I don't remember.
Insidious.
There you go.
Trick question. It's a tie. 67% for both of them.
She's allowed to flip you off today. She's about to poop herself.
I've earned this.
All right. This one's yours.
Next one. We have 2008's One Missed Call versus The Haunted Mansion from 2003 with Eddie Murphy.
The Haunted Mansion. Okay. I've only seen one of these, and Eddie Murphy was really good, but it's a remake, and sometimes people have a really hard time accepting remakes, so I'm going to go...
with?
She's not looking at them on...
I wrote them down just in case I got quizzed on the titles. I'm going to go... Ripe Haunted Mansion, Rotten, One Missed Call.
Correct. Okay. The Haunted Mansion
right.
at 13%.
Ooh.
Versus One Missed Call.
13.5?
Zero.
Oh,
damn.
Dave, not one person said, yeah, I like this movie.
Got a literal zero.
Yikes. Is that, I mean, that's got to be like a badge of honor.
Yeah, I know.
That is impressive.
That's good.
Not one person left that theater going, I can't wait to tell my friend about it.
Okay. I also had a tough time choosing movies because I did movies that I've seen before. And as you guys know, I don't watch a ton of movies. Mm-hmm. So this was a little bit more difficult. All right. Next up, we have The Blair Witch Project from 1999 versus The Nightmare Before Christmas from 1999. Which is debatably a Halloween movie.
I'll go with Nightmare Before Christmas is rotten, Blair Witch ripe.
Incorrect again. The Blair Witch Project, 86% versus The Nightmare Before Christmas, a staggering 95%.
Wow.
A respectable 95%.
Do you remember how many people were walking out of the theater during Blair Witch because they were having like all sorts of vertigo and stuff like that?
Yeah. Whoa. It's because they film it like kind of that POV style with like a handheld and it makes you feel sick, right?
It's one of those movies that was like so ahead of its time because I was in college when it came out. Like I remember being at the SAE house, watching it with Jeff Halchin, and then not being able to sleep for like a week.
Really? I had just the opposite effect. I'm like, this is the big deal everybody's talking about?
Same exact reaction.
Are you serious? Basement in the corner?
I was like, this is what all the hype is about?
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we have Scary Movie 2 versus Final Destination 3. Why 2 and 3? It's because those are the only ones that I've seen in the franchise.
Scary Movie 2, rotten... The other one, right.
Correct. Scary Movie 2, 13%. Pretty bad. But 87% of Google users liked it, which I think is more of a testament to it because I actually enjoyed that movie. Final Destination 3 with 43%.
All right. Let's end this thing here, Mo.
All right. Let's do it.
All right. Last one. We have 2005 Disney's Twitches versus 2009 Jennifer's Body.
Oh, classics.
I haven't seen either one of these.
What is Twitches?
It's got Tia and Tamara Mowry starring as twin witches who discover it later in life.
The perfect recap.
It's really good. They have to travel to a parallel universe where they meet their parents. It's really good.
I'm going to Twitches is ripe. Damn, I forgot again.
Why is this so hard?
I don't know.
End up in ditches.
Jennifer's body.
Jennifer and her body.
Jennifer's body tea.
Even with that amount of paying attention, you got it right. Twitch is at 60%, Jennifer body at 46%.
The Burt Show.
So yesterday, we got to hang with Kylie Minogue yesterday. She's been doing music for 40-something years.
Four decades is an impressive run.
It started in 1987. She was great. We had a whole room full of Burt Show listeners, Q99.7 listeners that just had the greatest time with her. And she was open at answering just about anything. She's so intense in her concerts. There is so much going on there. And she was telling us that 2 hours that she's on stage is really kind of like freedom for her. Like she gets to get away from all of her problems and hang out, but it's intense, including the costume changes.
Is there like an emergency contingency plan that your designers go through with you before you put something on to say, okay, this might like somehow snap, so just be ready?
No.
There's not.
Really? You'd think we should, but sometimes we've tried to bring that into practice. Mm-hmm. Honestly, we have lately. I was like, well, what? Can we just have like a backup? Don't need something for each section, but stuff goes wrong all the time. Yeah. Some snaps or it's really dramatic. And you might have heard me talking of late or whenever about stress of the quick change. It's like what happens in quick change stays in quick change because it gets really dramatic.
Do you have to practice that? I mean, are you like timed the first time and then timed
the last time?
You are.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's there's a kind of barter session between people at the front. They're like, we don't want you off stage for so long. Okay, you've only done it a couple of times. You're going to get faster. So it has to be a compromise. I don't want to be off stage for too long either. Trust me, I go as fast as I can. It's hectic. Yeah, so it's kind of choreographed as three people. Someone's on shoes, someone's on that. But
those are people you got to trust, and they better sign an NDA.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
What is the average time spent changing from one outfit to the other? Is it 15 seconds? Is it 30 seconds?
No, it'd be more than that. You could smash something in 60, 70 seconds. Okay. It depends. Some might be you keep the same shoes on so you can kind of do a quick... Some are faster than others, which are a relief.
This is how his mind works, because I know what he's doing right now. We're going to, sometime this week, do a Burt Show quick change. And everybody...
This would be amazing.
Uh-huh. And everybody's in studio. We're going to have to see
but
how
who's
we can...
your quick change team?
Oh.
Can you handle the pressure? This is the question.
We have to pick each other's team. Yeah.
Oh, you're in competition with each other.
Yeah.
Yes. Always.
Yeah.
Always. I like it. Yeah, they're like Formula One pit stops is the best.
Looks like it, right?
Well, do the outfits have to be constructed in a certain way so they can be quick change? Like, are there magnets on some of them? Are they not typical?
We really appreciate a strong zip.
Okay.
Don't give us these little... No, you need to be able to, like, manhandle stuff. Like, really be aggressive with it. And that, then go out and... They're working, like, they're like the draft horse or the quarter horse of horses that they need to be strong and do the distance. Poppers are good, maybe a bit of Velcro, like anything and everything we need.
All right, so Kylie, for Lights, Camera, Action this week, the Burt Show is going to start the Kylie Minogue Quick Change Challenge.
This is amazing. I did not foresee this happening, but we promise.
Promise.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do it. 100% this week we will.
I'm going to be tuned in.
Yeah. During a portion of Lights, Camera, Action, we will have that amount of time to switch an outfit and see if we can do it.
Okay, you better be mindful of your undergarment.
Thank you for the warning.
All right, Tension 2, her new album comes out on Friday. That's Kylie Minogue. All right, so tell us about autumn anxiety.
It is a thing. And this year, more than ever, I'm feeling it. And I don't know if it's because of having a kid, so it's exacerbated. But autumn anxiety, and I want to say, like, this is something that's not, like, professionally recognized as far as, like, it's not a recognized condition, but the articles are plentiful about it. And just so you understand, autumn anxiety is an annual increase in anxiety some people begin to feel during the autumn months. Duh, it's in the name of it. But experts say some causes of this anxiety may be due to beginning a new school year, the looming stress of the holiday season, or possible regret from not having achieved desired goals over the summer. So changes in diet, daily exercise, increased exposure to daylight are ways people can minimize. But I have felt, and I feel like saying impending doom is, it's too intense.
It's because we have an election right around the corner.
Well, there's that. I'm sure that has amplified it as well. No, but it's like as soon as the school year started, it was like, I feel like I'm in a mad dash to get to December 31st.
Really?
Yes. It's like when it comes to Jimmy, and I only got one kid, y'all. I don't know how you people with multiple kids do it. Like, especially when you start getting up to, like, the threes and the fours when you're outnumbered. Like, God bless you all. But, you know, Jimmy's school and his after-school activities. And then, you know, you have Halloween and then the Halloween parties. And then you have Thanksgiving and trying to make Thanksgiving plans. And then you have Christmas and trying to buy gifts for Christmas. And then there's decorations all mixed in there as well. And, you know, trying to make play dates. And then, you know, you also have work to deal with. And, you know making the appointment to... for Santa Claus, and it's just, and still trying to see your friends and also trying to have a date night with your husband. And when I feel like I'm drowning in everything. And it's just like this overwhelming anxiety. And I'm like, you know, the year's always busy, but there is like, for some reason, October 1st through the end of the year feels like a mad dash, and that you don't even really get to enjoy it. You're just trying to get to the next thing. Like, I look at my calendar and I'm just like, oh my God, there's crap.
Do you guys feel the same way? Or I wonder if this is a mom thing.
I've never even thought about it.
I do. Yeah. I feel you. I'm so stressed.
Yeah.
It's just so much is going on and the mental load is incredible. Like having to juggle everything and remember everything, what you're going to have to do next. It's too much. It's too much.
And I know that, like, I know the solution. I know we are the problem and I know we are the solution.
I'm not a problem.
Just like speak for yourself.
Opening my legs was the problem.
We are the problem. Because like I'm looking at my schedule, which is already packed, right? And I'm like, all right, when are we going to go to the pumpkin patch? I'm like, we also want to go to the apple orchard and do that, right? And I'm like, oh, don't forget, you need to go ahead and start planning for the Christmas cards, because you need to get those and you need to get those ordered in, you know, figure out the picture you want to use. And so I'm like, I'm caught up in this, like, I want to create these memories for our family, but at the same time, at what cost? Because if I'm there and I'm doing them, but I'm not enjoying myself because I'm stressed, then it was all for naught.
That's why I have given up trying to be a good person for a long time. Takes too much effort.
You gotta put a lot into it.
Make all those memories, make people happy. Man, that's so outdated.
Yeah, this is not going to be the healthy take, but yes, I will be miserable dressed in fall clothes, apple picking in 88 degree weather. But my kids will be happy, and I'm making memories for them. And one day on my deathbed, I'll look back and remember they were happy, and it'll be worth it. Is that healthy? Hell no, but that's how I get through it.
Good morning, Sam. You are part of The Burt Show. Hello.
Hey, I say the moms of the show are not wrong. It is definitely a mom anxiety this time of year.
Is it?
There's, of course, plenty of things that she's leaving off the list that fall in there as well. Not including birthday parties, class parties, not just for Halloween, but goodie bags for school or things you have to do at school for PTA or the outside functions with friends or just festivals, carnivals that go on, like a fair comes into town. There's so much stuff that you just push through, and it's literally a 90-day dash. He is not wrong. It is something all moms have.
Sam, you realize you're not helping here, right? You just got me all stressed out.
Because again, making it aware, so maybe your partner, your family, that other people dive in, and it's all hands on deck to realize that so many, like me in particular, I have made sure to have a plethora of photos over the years so that if I wasn't in the moment 100%, I can look back at those photos and kind of delve into the memory of what we held during that time. In my case, we've unfortunately had losses over the last decade during these months, from two dads, a mom, a grandmother, all in this 90-day stretch over the last decade, that impact us even more on top of all the other anxieties of what the season brings.
So you got trigger days maxed in, mixed in with the autumn anxiety.
Damn, man. Shout out to mothers.
I am very stressed out right now.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Is anybody watching the new season of Love is Blind?
No, I've never watched the first season.
I did. I watched the first season, loved it, and then started to watch the second one. I just fell off.
It's not as good. Nothing will ever top the first season. The first season was intoxicating. Like, we were all in the middle of the pandemic. We all needed something to hang on to. The Bachelor was starting to fall off, and now finally people have another show to latch on to when it comes to watching regular people fall in love.
It was a new concept also.
New concept, right. So there was some novelty there. If you've never seen Love is Blind, they take, like, 10 strangers or about 20 strangers from each city. So like this year they're filming in DC, or the one that's filming or the one that is airing right now is from Washington, DC. And they put them in these pods. So basically they're each in like these small rooms with a wall in between. So they can't see the person that they're on like a blind date with. And they have to ask all these questions to get to know them because they want to find out if love is blind. And what they find out is that sure, love is blind, but attraction is not. Because then they will introduce them in a very dramatic fashion where they will open up the doors, they will see each other for the first time, and then they will have the reaction of whether or not they actually are into each other in the physical sense or not. Mm-hmm. And then there's a whole other slew of episodes that comes out where they have to figure out if they can live together, if they want to get married, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, it gets so dramatic sometimes. They're walking up just to, like, marry each other, then somebody bails at the very last second. It's so dramatic.
So what I'm finding is that the wrong people are signing up for the show, because I will say, in this season and in the last couple of seasons prior, they will be asking some leading questions like Shake from the previous season of Love is Blind.
To be at a music festival, do you like being on a guy's shoulders?
Yeah, you're up for the challenge. You can pick me up.
Yeah, but will I have trouble picking you up?
Oh, wow.
Nasty.
Yeah.
Actually, that comes off very superficial. Shake doesn't understand how Love is Blind has to work here. The whole point is about finding out who we are as people, not can you carry me? I mean, right? Like,
I feel like if Jackson was on the show, that's the question he asks.
Right, really?
Well, just because he goes around to try to be clever to get to the end result.
There was nothing clever about that. Drop your weight, queen.
He should have said, are you fat?
At this point, right.
Well, you can also be super muscular and be heavy. Uh-huh. I mean, I'm mad she didn't clap back and be like, I don't know, do you hit the gym or are you weak?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I mean, it's on you.
Facts,
honestly.
Because
I will tell you, some of the most watched TikToks, and not by me, are of this guy who does weightlifting and he's like, I can carry you. And he'll like sit here and he'll like, not bench press, but like pick up 400 pounds of worth of dumbbells to be like, I can carry you. That's fine. And the women go feral.
That's so hot. Anyway, so it's starting to feel like a game of guess who. Like they're asking all these leading questions to see like if they can figure out how the other person looks. So I thought it'd be fun to do it with celebrities, but there's just so many celebrities out there. So I thought the Burt Show co-host could play a little game of guess who. Okay. So if you check your email, I have sent you all a co-host that you will have to ask the person to your, or the person to your left will have to try and guess with some leading questions. So for example, let's say, me, I have Rebecca. I'm going to turn to Mo. Or no. Bert is going to turn to me and ask me questions about my person. So he's going to be like, is your person, could your person reach something on the top shelf? And I'm going to say no, because Rebecca is a petite queen.
Okay.
And then if you can guess the person, then you will win.
Okay.
All right, you want to go with me and see if you can guess mine?
But you have to ask the person to your right. So we're going to do clockwise. Okay. So I'm out of here. So Bert, you ask Mo questions. Mo, you are asking Cassie questions. Cassie, you are asking Kristen questions. Kristen, you're asking Bert questions.
Yeah. Okay.
So makes sense.
You are asking me questions of who?
Of the person that you have.
The person in your email. Did you open your email?
Did you open your email?
Okay.
I did.
All right, so I'm going to go. You want me to... You want...
Clockwise. So to your right. This is not how I picture it.
Does it matter who starts?
No.
Okay.
Chris, go. Katie in there is so anxious. She's like, this sucks so bad.
All right. So Bert, ask questions of Mo's person.
I'm asking questions of your person.
You're trying to figure out who we are.
If I was going... No.
And it can't be about their appearance.
It can be about their appearance.
This could get ugly real quick.
Would this person panic just a little bit if they are going to be riding a roller coaster and they see the height requirement?
No. I don't think, no.
Kristen.
No.
So now I got to keep going?
No. So now
it's
no.
What do I do now?
I don't know. It's 5 minutes. I kind of want to
It's a fun game, Abby.
Thank you. Now, Mo, you ask questions of Cassie's person and see if you can guess it. Is it a woman?
Is it a woman?
Yes.
Okay, but now we got to move on. You get your one question.
Oh, you only get one question?
You only get one question.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Kristen, does this person dye their hair?
Yes.
Okay, now you ask Bert.
Why is this so hard?
I can't tell if I love the awkward or hate the awkward.
Did this person win the ice bath challenge?
Oh.
The cold plunge challenge?
No.
Okay.
It's back to me?
Back to you. So Bert asks you questions about your person.
Okay.
I'm hating every second.
Oh, no. We're doing this.
Are we finishing it?
No, yeah.
Okay. Would this person put a damn bra on?
Yes.
Okay. No, you ask Cassie.
Would this person struggle to reach the top shelf?
Yes. Is this person in a new relationship?
Yes.
It's Bert. Did I get it right?
Yes.
Yay! Okay,
we're done?
Yours is Abby.
Can we be done?
Nope.
Yeah, I'm done.
Mine is Kristen.
Oh, okay.
For more awkward moments and more, head to the Bert Show podcast, wherever you listen to your favorite audio shows.
Wait, was it the game or was it us?
Yes.
The Bert Show.
You guys loved it a couple of weeks ago when the youth group came in here and they hosted The Burt Show. Mo was out. Kristen was out. So Abby and I stuck around, tried to help out when we could. But it was basically all the producers of The Burt Show that are very talented on mic and off mic also. They come on from time to time, tell personal stories and enjoy the show. But on this particular day, they took the whole thing over. And it was just a kick-ass show, really kick-ass. So when they had the idea to start their own youth group show, super excited about it. And you guys told us today is launch day of the new podcast.
Well,
so about that.
Here's the thing.
So, okay, I'm going to put this in layman's terms. Oh, like literally, Rebecca, you sent to our like prep account or what, like you guys were dropping your show today, right? And then you tried to do it last week or the week before last, and we like were like, okay, let's hold our horses.
Yeah, I pod blocked us.
Yes. Abby pod blocked us for a little bit of creative difference behind the scene about like how our first episode went and how we wanted to like actually go about the launch. But Abby, why don't you take it away?
So, you know when sometimes you prepare for a launch, like let's say it's a spaceship, you know, everyone's gearing up, you know, they're down on Merritt Island on Cape Canaveral and they're getting ready to go to Mars or Venus or Pluto or wherever. And, you know, as a Floridian, sometimes we would get out of class, we get to watch the space launch. We get to stand outside and see the spaceship go up into the sky. And, you know, you prepare for it for weeks and weeks and weeks and you think you've got it right. And then like the day before, maybe there's like a screw loose or something, and they got to cancel the whole launch.
Youth group, we have a problem.
Youth group, we have a problem.
So you're saying is launching a podcast is as complicated as sending a man to the moon?
Yes, it is. It is in fact rocket science, is what I'm trying to say. Turns out starting a podcast is really hard, which I forgot how hard and convoluted it can be when you're trying to get it out into the World Wide Web, and you can't just press play the night before. There are some steps that you have to go through for your podcast to actually go out into the ether, which is the problem I encountered last night, and so we can't publish until next week.
Oh, so it's not that you don't want to. You believe in the product.
Yes.
It's just that there were technical difficulties to the actual launch.
Yes, this ship is going to get us to Mars at some point, but right now, there's a screw loose.
See, what I... Wow. There's a part of me that loves this also, because I know that there are so many people that want to start their own podcast, and they think it's so easy, right?
Just grab it. Yeah, go buy a microphone, set it up in your house, get a cozy chair and a blanket, yappity-yap-yap-yap, and then, boop, enter on your computer, and it's there for everybody to enjoy.
How hard can it be, right? So a guy that owns a podcasting network is watching this go down, and I think it's a great example for those that are enthusiastic but don't realize how much work goes into it. Not only you know, from a mechanic standpoint, but also trying to balance out egos. Who's going to take charge? Who's going to host it? How are you guys going to agree on the content? So it's all sort of playing out in real time, but you guys are saying that the podcast itself is done. You got through the initial conflicts. It's done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have one episode recorded that's not going to get us canceled. We've all listened to it. We vetted it. We've gone through it with a fine-tooth comb. We're going to record our second podcast today. And I think the plan as of right now is to launch both ships next week.
How are you feeling about things, Rebecca? And is it the three of you guys, or is Katie in on it also? Is everybody else
Katie,
in on it?
Katie, Amber, yes. Mikey are also in on it.
Okay. Yeah.
How many Burt Show Youth Group members does it take to publish a podcast? No, we love the podcast. We love what we've edited. We love what we've contributed. But there's some operational things that are just happening in the background that, creating a podcast, it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. And I think, like, taking like such a production role, because like I've like jumped on this and like started like editing and like making things, and then I'm like, but our rollout could be so much cooler, and we could have a TikTok and we could have Twitter, and just like realizing all these things that you can really put into production to like make people like your product. We're like, okay, maybe this does deserve like just a week pushback.
Jackson, if only you worked for a podcasting company and you knew all this.
Yes.
So, and this is to say, you know, Kristen brings up a very good point also, much like you guys that are thinking about starting a podcast. These guys bust their ass in their real jobs. I mean, you got Jackson here that works for The Burt Show, but works for Pioneer also. You got Abby that's doing this, and she also has her own podcast. Rebecca here, social media all the time. Katie is helping out Mo and hosts with Mo on his podcast too. So like most people that have real lives, when you're adding a podcast in, it's a lot of work and a lot of time.
All right, so something I just noticed we haven't done. You guys haven't even told everybody the name of your podcast.
Ah, yes.
Oh, wait, we haven't?
Have we not?
No, you have. We've talked about it, but in this break, you have not said the name of your podcast so people can find it.
Should we do it in unison?
Even like, though people can't find it because you weren't able to upload it. Yeah, you can't find it. Don't go searching for it. But, okay, should we do it together?
This is going to be a disaster if we don't get this in sync.
Okay, right. One, two, three.
Sunday School with the Burt Show Youth Group.
Okay. Do we have a trailer? Are we playing the trailer?
Yes.
We have a trailer.
We're geared up and ready to go. Yes. And like you're saying, Kristen, as someone who does work for a podcast network, the thing is, I touch a lot of aspects of the podcasting world and launches, but I don't see a lot of the actual production that goes into a lot of the new shows that are being made. Like, I'm looking at more at different sides of the business. Mm-hmm. And so,
if only your boss launched podcasts on a regular basis.
And if only we had other people on our cast that have podcasts that are very successful. I mean, we have all the pieces there. Everything is ready to go, but we kind of overlooked a couple of the more technical sides of things. But yes, we do have an episode recorded. We actually have two recorded, but the second one is probably going to be the one that we actually take off on.
That first one never needs to see the light of day.
Yeah,
that's okay. Perfect.
Exactly.
It's just my advice to people also is that cut one. Don't ever think, no one's going to ever hear it. Ever just go in there and get comfortable on the mics and everything, and then throw it away somewhere. Delete it. It'll never be heard.
But we do have a trailer that we would like to share with you all. And why don't you give it a listen?
On the first day, God created the heavens and the earth. On the second day, God said, "Let there be light." On the other days, he did some other stuff. And on the seventh day, God took a break so that the Burt Show Youth Group could take over. Welcome to Sunday School with the Burt Show Youth Group. On today's sermon,
what Burt Show member would you date if you had to?
What would sound like?
So I feel like me and Abby have beef.
Okay, I mean this in the least fat phobic way possible. And that's it.
Oh, that's a hell of a tease.
Right?
That's not bad at all. Tease,
right?
Not bad at all.
What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
What's that look?
No, nothing.
You what? Got a look.
I don't have a look.
You definitely have a look.
We're
did you just poop
look.
Yourself?
I have food poisoning. I'll give you my critiques off the air.
So now might be a good time for me to plug my book, Listenable.
Oh, that's another good question. Who in here has actually read right. Listenable? Me!
Hey! Jackson has it.
I missed the question. Sorry.
tapped out.
All right. So the podcast goes up exactly when?
On Monday.
Next Monday.
At 10 a.m. And it's going to be a weekly podcast that gets uploaded every Monday.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
Unless it's not.
Unless it's not.
We're not going to put that out there right now.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Oh, I'm not even going to say pleasantly surprised, just happy yesterday that Kylie Minogue was what I thought she was going to be, and I think we all feel the same way, right?
She was so lovely.
Very genuine.
Right? You know, when you do this long enough, you run into enough celebrities, and some you can tell that are there because they have to be there. And they're disappointing when that happens. Chris Rock will always be like that for me, man. I was so excited to meet Chris Rock, and we finally do an interview with him, and you could just tell. We walk into the hotel room, the suite that the movie company has set this whole thing up in, and as the show walks in there, Chris has his back to us, and he's looking out the window. He's not even on the phone or anything. Doesn't even acknowledge that we're there, and then he turns around and starts doing the interview, and you could just tell he wasn't into it at all. So, I don't know. I was expecting a joke from time to time. I mean, it's Chris Rock, you know? So I think I even said something to him, like, do you always feel pressure to have to be funny? And do you ever feel like you're going to disappoint somebody if you're not in conversation? And what he said to us was, well, I turn it on when I have to. Like, I'm going to be on Oprah tomorrow, which was a bit of a slap in the face for us. Like, I don't got to turn it on for you guys. It's just radio. Y'all aren't Oprah.
Damn.
I understood it.
Right.
And he was right. But it hurt to hear. And So when you do an interview like that a couple of different times, sometimes they get closed and you never know what you're going to expect. So when Kylie Minogue walked in yesterday, and we met her before we actually did the Q&A with her, with a bunch of our Burt Show listeners, she was just so, you could tell as soon as we walked in there, she was 100% enthusiastic and genuine.
Yeah, I mean, she loves her fans, and the fans that showed up for her yesterday, you could just tell, like, this is their icon. They could not wait to see her and ask her about her songs and talk to her about the different outfits that she's worn throughout her tours. And seeing someone genuinely be so appreciative of it and connect with the listeners in a very unpretentious way was so cool to watch.
She's got a new album coming out on Friday, so you can get that if you love Kylie Minogue. But this was a fun question here. The question was, what's your favorite collab been? I mean, she's been doing this for 40 years, so she's done a lot of collabs, all right? What was her favorite?
Of all the collaborations you've had in your career, is there one that's your favorite or your most memorable?
Kermit the Frog. Yes. I cried when I met Kermit the Frog.
Really?
I get that.
It was so emotional.
I get it.
And it was hard to book Kermit. Because there's one Kermit. It's not like some other brands where there's multiples, but there's one Kermit. I tried to get Miss Piggy. She wasn't available. But yeah, that was a special one. And the other one that will be lesser known to the broad audience, but you guys will know, is Where the Wild Roses Grow with Nick Cave, which was just, there was nothing that wasn't so genuine. I mean, it's a murder ballad. Its subject matter is gruesome, but he's such an incredible artist. And the fact that he had the desire to work with me for a number of years, and through that 90s period where there's a lot of postmodern irony, and if I didn't know that he was genuinely respectful of me, I might have thought, oh, this is for a laugh, this is for effect. But beautiful song, stunning video, amazing person, and he really affected my life, so I would choose him.
Love it so much.
She had a lot of great stuff to say. I think Kristen asked the question about mental health when it came to, like, this generation of artists. She was very insightful there. Someday she wakes up, she doesn't even know what city she's in. She could predict, right? So if you love Kylie Minogue, we are going to put that up online as soon as we can. Today has been just a wonky show. Like, on the air and off the air, it's just been a wonky show today.
I'm sitting on paper towels. That sums up today's show.
Cassie is giving me the thumbs up, which means she agrees that it's either a wonky show or B, the whole interview is up.
Both. It's up at thebirdshow.com and on the Burt Show podcast.
Yay.
The Burt Show.